it was better as one handful of tranquility than two handfuls of strife and stuff out of Ecclesiastes. And I was all fired up to talk about how we need to let go of the good to grasp hold of the better. And I'm not going to go there today. And not that I'm changing the things. God is changing the message today. I have spent probably the last several weeks between two different projects at home, redoing my shed and planting a garden. And it's because, you know, like, Paul, why don't you finish one thing before you start another? I can't. It's like I can only work a little bit here, and then I have to work on this because my ADD, you know, I'm 61, I got ADD, and I need new glasses, okay? We're all there, right? So I'm doing all these things, but being out in the garden is giving me an opportunity to just listen to God. You know, we've had some beautiful weather, y'all. It's been sunny, there's been a breeze blowing, it's been really, really nice, and so, you know, getting in the dirt, watching these seeds that I plant, and now I'm starting to see these blossoms. I really see the handiwork of God. And so I started to think about, Sandra spoke on Wednesday night, and I wish she would have done what she did Wednesday night here today, because it's a message we all need to hear. And then to reinforce that, Joe sent me a video and said, hey, Paul, you need to watch this. And I'm like, it was the same thing that Sandra talked about on Wednesday. And it's the fact that in the church, we have become consumers, I guess is the best way to put it. We want to be entertained. We want to, Paul, give us a short, sweet sermon so that we can get to the restaurants before the Baptists do, you know, that kind of thing. I don't want life change, really. How many of you have Bibles at home? Pretty much everybody. How many have more than one Bible at home? How many have more than three Bibles at home? How many of you take those Bibles and you read, you've read the Bible cover to cover? Anybody? Okay. We're starving. We are starving for the very word of God. And so as I'm out there digging, God says, hey, Paul, turn to Nehemiah. So oh my, Nehemiah, that kind of thing, right? Nehemiah is heartbroken because after the exile, he's thinking about what is going on in Jerusalem. The walls have been burned down. It's in ruins. And it's just a lot of, it's breaking his heart. And it says this in chapter 1, verse 4. He says this, as soon as I heard the words, the remnant, he's hearing what's going on in Jerusalem, how everything just is just torn up, right? As soon as I heard these words, this is Nehemiah, I sat down and wept, and I mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And it wasn't one of those little five-minute prayers where he goes, you know, God, somebody needs to build the temple, somebody needs to go back and rebuild the walls. Hey, God, we need to do these things. It wasn't one of those quick prayers. Listen to this, what it says. He cries out, says, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. He puts himself in there, but he is praying day and night and earnestly for the salvation of his people. They've turned away from God. And our churches today, I think that's we're guilty of that. Leonard Ravenhill, this wonderful theologian, he's passed on now, but a great expositor of the words of God, he says that the world is sailing on the love boat. You know, love at any price, love at any cost. All you need is love. And that's what the world is doing. And he says the church is sailing on the dove boat. And he meant by that we want peace at any price. So what we're going to do, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to, hey, we read your Bible, say your prayers, but you're not going to get involved. And he's crying out that there are people, even in the church, that are lost, that are hurting, that are broken, and they need to feed on the very word of God. And he says this in verse 11, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. And so I'm going, God, why did you take me to Nehemiah this week? you know? And I thought about how God's people sometimes just kind of give him half service. Think about this, that when they were going back to rebuild the city, when they were going back to Jerusalem, and they were finally free of their exile, only 50,000 chose to go back. Only 50,000 of all of the Israelites and the Judahites, or I guess Judah and Israel, as they're going back, it's like, you know what? Only 50,000. The rest were comfortable with where they were at. Remember the story of the Exodus, where God's people go, as soon as they get out there, they say, man, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. We had it much better being slaves in Egypt. You know, they begin to want what they want. Think about when God says, hey, I want you to go into this land. This is your land. And so 12 spies go into the land, and all of them come back, and only two out of the 12 say, yes, this is good land that God wants us to take. The other 10 were like, oh, man, those guys are big. We don't want any part of that. And we do the same thing in our churches today. We, instead of here sitting down and weeping over broken souls, over the horrible theology that's being taught in some of our churches today, and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the Lord of heaven. We need to sit down more. We need to weep more. We need to pray more. We need to fast more. Because if you turn over to Ezekiel, this is another one of those verses that just kind of gets you. It says, the people of the land have practiced extortion, committed robbery. They've oppressed the poor and needy, and they have extorted from the sojourner without justice. And this is what he says. And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. This is God talking. Listen to this. But I found none. I found none. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have returned their way upon their heads, declares the Lord God. And you look at what's going on. Thank you, Steve. He really doesn't have anything to do with it. It just happens. And there's my ADD again. I'm chasing a squirrel. The idea is the fact that we give God this lip service, and then we turn away and do our own thing. And it says, even in the New Testament, it says, God turned them over to their own habits. He turned them over to their own ways. He basically said, you want to run down that path? Go. Go. But it's on your head. And that's what he says here. He goes, I have returned their way upon their head. Look at our society today. Everything that's going on, we caused it. I'm not talking about just we sitting here, but we as the people of God, we caused it. We've caused discrimination. We've caused racism. We've caused abortion. We've caused all these things because we don't think of it as a battle that we're in. You know, I was amazed at people that have served in the military. And I remember, you know, seeing pictures of my uncle and who was in the Navy, and some of my other relatives that served in Vietnam and other wars. And we've seen the movies where they get ready to go off to war. What happens? There's weeping, there's crying, there's hugging, because they know that they are going into a battle. They may not get back. They may not get back. In our church, we are in a battle. We are in a battle for truth. Listen to this. There's so many philosophies out there, and I just wanted, talking about my Mormon friends, I really didn't want to bash anybody, but listen to this. This is from the Journal of Discourses, Volume 6, page 3, that the Joseph Smith, the Mormon prophet, he says this. God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man, and he sits enthroned in yonder heavens. That is the great secret. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity, and I will refute that idea. That's what he says in his book. That's what he says, and there's so many people that are following that. There are preachers that get up in the pulpit day after day and week after week saying, like, if you just give me more money, you'll have more blessings. And we buy into that because we want more. We're in a society, we want more. We want more. I want a bigger house. My house is not big enough. I want a better car. I want a better wife. I want a better children. I want. And we're teaching the same thing. How do we break that cycle, y'all? How do we break that cycle? As a church, we should be weeping more. We should be fasting more. We should be praying more. But it all starts with a hunger for the Word of God. I was talking to Sandra. Whenever I share an idea with Sandra, she always cuts it down. Actually, she refines it. But I was telling her, it says that, Paul says in Corinthians, he says that over 500 men saw Jesus after the resurrection. So there were 500 eyewitnesses. There were 120 disciples up in the upper room. Okay? We have letters, we have this movement that just spread like wildfire across the globe, and now we just want to come and we just want to sit and be entertained, and we can't do that anymore. We can't do that anymore. I don't want to do that. I'm also reading God saying, hey, Paul, read this part. It's like, I'm going to hold you more accountable than the rest of your people because you're their pastor. I'm like, I don't want this job anymore, you know? No hunger for the Word. We're living in the wilderness. We get caught up in our worldliness, and we think like, you know what, if it's not fun, if it's not entertaining, why even have it? We're holding on to our secret sins. Gotta let it go, let it go. And the only way we let it go is when we get into the Word of God and we open it up and let God speak to us. God, speak to me. I want to be the man that stands on the tower and cries out for the people and know that the gates of hell can't stop us from whatever we're doing. We need to be better lovers. And by better lovers, I mean we need to be better lovers of the people in the world. Because every single one of them are made in the very image of Jesus. All of them are made in the very image of God himself. And if we look at them as those people and us people, we're wrong. We're wrong. We need to open up our hearts. We need to, how do we get that hunger? How do we get that hunger? Well, I tell you, open up the Bible. Start with some of the short books. Read one or two Psalms every day, but then go back, you know, read Jude. Read 1 Peter. Read James. Read Habakkuk, only three chapters. That's going to hit you. But start reading God's Word. And if you're like, well, okay, I want to start the Bible and I want to read it all the way through, I'm going to tell you, when you get to Leviticus and when you get to Deuteronomy, sometimes you're going to be scratching your head going like, you know what, and then you're going to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. In fact, if you start with the New Testament, then go back and start reading and see how the Old Testament set up everything that was happening in the New Testament, then when you go back and see why they had all of these things in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you think like, wow, now it makes sense. You know, it's like those, what is it, Margie, Prolon diet kind of thing. They give you this little packet and you starve yourself for like 10 days. Well, you can eat a cracker one day, you know, that kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about, one of those kind of things. Can you imagine if there was no prep and let's say, I don't know, I invite you over to my house and say, hey, guys, come on, let's eat. And you sit down and there's just a cracker with one olive. I think you got an olive. I don't know. Might be too much salt on that. But the point is, you're going like, what? I'm not fed. It's like, no, but this is good for you. Just take little bites. No, don't do that. You want a feast. You want a feast. God's word is a feast. You know, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. He says, he is the living water. He says, you drink from his cup, you don't ever thirst again. You know, we have to develop a thirst. We have to develop a hunger because, guys, we are living in a wilderness. And we got to do something about it. And if we think of it as Jesus said, that we are in a battle, we're fighting principalities not even of this world. We're fighting demonic stuff. We're fighting the world. Three things: the world, our flesh, and the actual enemy, the devil. And he's not all powerful. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He knows a little bit about everything. He knows more scripture than most of us, which is horrible, but he does. And he uses it to try to trick us to say, like, well, you know, if you read the verse this way, you can interpret it like this. And that's why we have all of these bad theologies and things that are just going on in our world today. When a pastor can't even say, oh, we can't talk about sin because, you know, when we talk about sin and repentance, then we're kind of hammering you. You know, I grew up in the time where the pastors, they almost beat you in the head with the Bible. You know what I'm talking about? You die today, you know where you're going. You don't want to go to hell, so turn your life over right now. We're going to keep playing just as I am until everybody comes up here at least one time to the altar, right? We grew up in a time like that, but now we're in a time where it's like, nah, you know, just sit there, be comfortable. Y'all want popcorn? Yeah, we'll serve you popcorn. Hey, go ahead, bring your coffee. Just sit and be entertained with the Word of God. How sad is that? I know it sounds like I'm just getting on to you, and a lot of you have already turned me off because you're thinking, like, why is he yelling at me? He needs to be talking to Melvin. But no, I'm talking to all of us. I'm talking about me. It's like, God, all I want to do is plant these beans, and you're preaching to me. You're telling me that 3-point could be so much bigger. And I'm not talking about numbers. I'm not talking about nickels and noses. You know, let's get more people in here and more money, and we could build bigger building. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about we could do so much better with the Word of God and letting God speak to us and growing, and then they'll know we are Christians by the way that we live. Not just our love, because we don't just love you. We love you enough to say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. We love you enough to hold you accountable. Instead of going like, oh, you know, I'm sorry your marriage is falling apart. You know, I'll pray for you. Instead of that, we should be coming alongside as people and saying like, you know what, I love you too much to allow this to happen. And so we're going to pour into your life. And your children, we want to embrace your children. We want to love on your children. We want to teach them the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ came for them. And he wasn't just this meek little guy that sat with sheep and little kids. He was the same Jesus that turned over the tables. The same Jesus that was filled with righteous anger is the same Jesus we want to say, hey, if you just follow his teaching, all you do is love. Love, love, love. All you got to do is love. There's a deadly gospel that people will just listen to at any price. That just scares me. And I sought for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And a lot of us, we look at the news, we look at Facebook, we look at social media, and we say, like, ah, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, look at all this craziness and foolishness and stuff going out there. And it seems to be Georgia's fault on everything. If you read the news, Georgia's fault that the election turned out the way it did. Georgia's fault that even though you have 17 days that you can go and vote, obviously that's not enough time for you to vote. So Georgia is going to lose all this other stuff. Georgia can't even make up its mind what the weather's going to be like. Georgia is this, Georgia that, and Georgia can't win a football game, you know, or can't win the national title. Come on, Georgia, it's time to stand up. Time to stand up. So what do we do? Well, Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night, we have a Bible study. And we are going to be studying the book of Habakkuk. And we'd love for you to be a part of that. We're finishing up a Bible study tonight on Ephesians. And if you're just want to get into Ephesians, you can go to our website, and on the very front, just scroll down, and you can listen to you'll hear all 6 chapters when we put the one on up for tonight. And so you can listen to there. There are so many tools for us to get into God's Word. You can even get one that'll talk to you, and it'll just read Scripture to you. And I'm not talking about, like, doing your daily devotion where you get up and you read, like, you know, this much of a verse, and then you read someone's commentary on that one verse. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting into God's Word and let God speak to you. What is God saying to you? You know, maybe it took me 61 years to try to finally figure this out, you know? I think of the Pat Terry song. It's like I'd always been the kind of guy to laugh my life away. I'd never really tried to understand because I never met this King of Kings that stole my heart away, and I never saw the nail scars in his hands, but I've seen it now. And it's all that I can stand because he's becoming a part of everything I am. And that's what we need to be. We need to open ourselves up and say, you know what? I don't want to be standing in the gap for nothing. I don't want to be starting a movement. I don't want to be doing anything. Let the Holy Spirit just set us on fire. Let's go out and make a difference in the world. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want for you, but more, I want it for me. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy that prays with you and for you and comes alongside you and not afraid to get my hands dirty and not afraid to hold you accountable. You know, I get my feelings hurt all the time, you know. People say something and, you know, like 20 people will say something good. One person will say something bad. What do I focus on? That one thing. Really, Margie? I had that in my teeth the whole time. You never even said anything. You know, I think of that one thing. How could it be better? How could I do this? How could I do that? And then it's like, that is foolishness. That's the fear of man more than the fear of God. I need to be able to say, you know what? I don't care what you think of me, except that I want you to know, and I want you to know that you know that you know that I love you, and I am for you, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help grow you in your faith. And that starts again with the Word of God. As pastors, we're in the Word every day. A lot of it is for sermon prep and things, but I can't just do that. I have to do my sermon prep, but I also have to just let God's Word speak to me. And that's why I have Howard and Sandra and Edwin and Leo and when they preach, because there are times I have to step back from the pulpit and I have to be fed from, you know, God is speaking to me through these other leaders as well. And I want us all to be like that. You know, you don't come to this church because of me. You come here, I hope, because you love God. You love people. We love God, we love others, but now we got to start making disciples. And how do we do that? We get into the Word of God and let God's Word change us, and God's Word can change the world. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for loving us. Father, for putting up with us, for making us your people, that you set us apart, you ordained us, and we're being sanctified and being made righteous and holy. But Father, I pray that we just don't get caught up in the world, that we humble ourselves before you, that we repent of any unconfessed sin in our life, even the sins we don't even know. Father, we just pray that you would bring them to mind and we would just confess them to you. Father, I pray that we would be the light of the world, that we would shine like a beacon of hope, like a lighthouse, Father, to people that are being tossed about on the waves. Father, I pray that we would be the people that would stand in the gap, that would stand on the wall, that you would find faithful, that you would hear our cries day and night as we pray for not only our church, but Father, for your world, your people. Oh, Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for all that you do, and we do this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.